We move today to what I hope will be the last stanza of ministering why grace doctrinal preaching is so unappealing in modern ministry. And I'm sure that everyone has, you have your document there. Amen. And we have for the last several outings been conveying our preaching and outlaying some of the things that we have outlined in that document. I want you to go to the section that says superficial and unscriptural evangelism. Now, what we had said some weeks ago is we'll begin to look at the various reasons that grace doctrinal preaching is not the forum in our modern day ministry pulpits. And as we looked at the various reasons, we outline spiritual laziness, that's one of the sectors in there, desire for popularity, and today we look at superficial, lopsided evangelism, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about the love for sensationalism before we conclude today, and hopefully we will be able to conclude, but if not, amen, as always, next time. Take your Bibles. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and for the sake of time we're going to start today, Deacon, in verse 5. In fact, the latter phrase of that. You may read it for context, but our exegesis and explication shall be on the latter part of that fifth verse. Also, hopefully, if time allows, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, verse 12. Now, as we said last week, as we came into our conclusion, we were looking at some of the aspects of why grace doctrinal preaching is not practiced in our pulpits. Why is it that everything except what has been ordered for the church is coming through the pulpit? Sadly, popularly mimicking so-called evangelical religiosity is coming from the pulpit, exuding what they construe to be successfully unscriptural impressions that the first and last object of correct ministry entails converting human souls. This view of winning souls, soul winning, induces bending to that aim and the consequent misconstruing of harvesting transformation when our job is really illumination. Our goal is illumination. And he gave some prophets and some what? Apostles and some what? Evangelists and of course the pastors and the teaching. And what did he say it was for? Perfecting, maturing, equipping of the saints. It didn't say anything about saving souls, did it? No. The job of the church is not to save souls. That's why it's so important for us to understand where souls were saved. God's choice and election is in eternity as a completed act. And I know this is going out and this is being aired. But the fact is, no one can be saved in time that wasn't chosen in eternity. Because those that were chosen in eternity were saved in eternity. I'll let that sink in for a minute. What we're saying is, if you are not saved in eternity, there's no possible way to be saved in time. This is why we took so long and we're going to continue in a few weeks scripture distinctions of actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. And what we don't understand is that time is for manifestation only. The actual actions are ontologized, are come into existence through God's decree. So everything that is, that has been, is, and will be, already was.
Come on, glory to God.
So when something is happening and is manifesting, that is not the origin of it. Then we go back in the scriptures, and even in the Old Testament, there's nothing new what? Under the sun. We'll deal with that in actualization. But we want to bring that forward for the purpose of knowing what our job is. Now, all functions are geared to philosophically feeding the sheep according to non-grace covenant maxims or principles, maintaining humanly principled disciplines and inculcating so-called practical piety in the assembly. We talked about that a little last week. We won't today. But in pursuance of such artificial religiosity, grace, doctrinal preaching and teaching shone as being too painstaking. It's too much of a pain on the brain. I said to you, Grace Gospel, as long as I'm pastoring, you will always have something in writing in your hand. Because that's what God told me to do. Amen. And we will pursue the academics of eternal things. The things that the eyes cannot see. And the ears cannot hear. The things that Paul speaks about as he writes to the Corinthians, and he speaks about things that eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, those things. But all he gives us good news. God has revealed them unto us. So why won't we talk about them? In fact, that's all we're going to talk about. The eternal things. The everlasting things. The unseen. We don't have to spend time in here talking about things that you see. You see what you see. And we're trying to tell you that what you think you see or you see or you think you see is temporary. Unless Paul was on the LSD or something when he wrote it, and I don't think so. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're not looking at those things. So when we come together, these are not the topics we will talk about. So why aren't you in the world? Something in passing, we may say something, but our focus is on the unseen. Our priority is on the unseen.
Yes.
Our hope is the unseen.
Yes.
Our hope is an eternal hope.
Right.
And if it tells us that the seen is temporary and the unseen is eternal, if our hope is eternal, then we've got to focus on the unseen.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
And prioritize it.
Yes.
Where you work and what you're doing each day, as important as that might be to you, it's temporary.
Temporary.
You better hear me this morning. Mm-hmm. There are those who are all fired up about the election.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if our man gets in, and I'm saying, oh my God, they should look at the last crowd who thought that things were going to be all right if their man gets in. No, I hope it's beyond that. Now let's think about evangelism. And see, the reason we stand and we talk about this is because all too often diversified worldly devices and fleshly methods are employed under the plea that their ends justify these means. Today's modern ministries are filled with non, and this is the sad part, non-elucidated members, non-enlightened members.
Yes.
They have no clue of eternality, no clue of the unseen things, no clue of the everlasting things. Isn't it sad for a child of God not to know anything about who he or she is? Do you really know who you are this morning? You say, well, I'm a husband, or I'm a wife, or I'm a student, or I'm a doctor, I'm Joe the plumber, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're a member of the body of Christ.
Right.
And so, well, I'm not in the flesh. Yeah, right now.
Right now.
But that's not who you really are. Who you really are is who you will forever be.
Glory to God.
That's who you really are. And so most of us get caught up in these things. And so the churches are filled with non-elucidated members. And in reality, even the ministering techniques and forums that these ministers are using doesn't meet their aim. Because when you're trying to appeal to the flesh, the flesh gets just so boring. And this is why you see they're changing they're forever changing their tactics. Because you do something, and everybody's all excited about it. I look at, the people that become enamored by people and by things. And as time passes, what happens? It gets old, doesn't it? It gets boring. And so now you got to come up with something else to keep them excited. But when we speak about eternality, we stay excited, don't we? I've been excited for years. Oh, my God.
Glory to God.
Now the reason we fight to convey the essence of our eternality and the essence of who we are in Christ and when we were saved, and the reason why we're focused on these things, because we don't want to live in illusion.
Amen.
An illusion is a lie.
Amen.
Now orthodoxy teach that the hard heart must be plowed and harrowed before it can be receptive to the gospel seed. This is what exudes the synergistic notion of secular ministering. because we feel like we're doing this thing.
Right.
So the focus got to be on us, not on God. We're running this show. And isn't that strange? Isn't that crazy? Nobody argues about the fact that in the cosmos, you've got all of the things that happen in all of the other part of the universe, and we have nothing to do with that. When we get to Earth, we're in charge. We determine things. But that comes from the doctrine. See, whatever you think about salvation,
right,
it works its way right on down into life. If you think that, you know, you've got to be the cause and take responsibility for getting to heaven, and it's on you, then you think that everything touching life is on you.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, as you learn that this thing is not about you, actually that takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Hallelujah.
Takes the pressure off.
Hallelujah.
You know? And this is why we turn to the opposite of orthodoxy. Grace doctrinal instructions exert knowledge of God's character as it is distinguished from humanly unattainable requirements of the law. As such, are aversive to the sinfully depraved nature. The scripture foundation of genuine evangelism conveys uselessness in sacrally preaching Christ. Understand this. And this is why we take time and we go through and we break this thing down. And Deacon Gavin has been on that sector in there. As he's been teaching now for weeks, and I've told all of them, no matter which one of them, who's teaching, you say, hey, don't rush through nothing.
Amen.
This is too important. We can't go to page 2 if you don't understand page 1.
Never.
But you got to divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. If you don't, you're going to be confused.
Yes,
and there are two gospels out there.
Never.
Ooh, Pastor, don't say that. Some people don't think we come from a common. No. As long as we got scripture backing us up.
Right.
You got the kingdom gospel and you got the grace gospel.
Yeah.
The kingdom gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. The grace gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery is what God revealed to the Apostle Paul. Which is the message for the church. The only message that should be conveyed to the church.
Oh.
And yes, we say stay in your gospel. And anytime anybody out of this ministry, anyway, stands up behind this pulpit, we're going to be talking about Jesus, and we're going to be ministering from our contract. The grace contract. Now, we will corroborate and read other parts of the Bible. But the grace contract is what teaches us and shows us and gives us understanding that our salvation was secured for us in eternity. So that we're not out here thinking we're winning souls. And that souls are being saved every day. Souls are coming into the enlightenment of their eternal salvation every day. But the thing doesn't happen just because you when you realize it. That's when, now we think, unless we see something, it's not existing until we know it. And so as we look at evangelism, and we read, and we teach, and we preach from our gospel, we see that it is against everything that has been traditionally taught concerning salvation. Now, the scripture foundation of genuine evangelism conveys uselessness, as we said, in secular preaching Christ by not accurately addressing human inadequacies and desperate need for comprehension of his eternal workings. Composition of Paul's epistles engender the conveyance of eternality with the view of what? Urging, encouraging, advising, as God's sole means and methodologies of causing, that is according to his purpose, conformity, and here's the goal of grace, identification-wise, we identify with who we are in the body of Christ. Because the opposite of that is identifying to who you are in these bodies. And we do that too much, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Do that too much. So we identify with the new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are under no illusion that the old man, that the new man is the old man reformed. We are not under any illusions that the new man is the old man reformed. The new man is who you are in Christ, in the body of Christ, in eternity right now. The old man is who you are walking around here each day. And the two are opposites. The two are opposites. In this sense, the context of grace doctrinal preaching track eternal facts. Eternal facts are designs and aims for the purpose of instituting our confidence strictly in the unseen, non-material entities. Now, spiritually persuasive features of evangelism, that's spiritually, of the spiritual features of evangelism, not conditioned in the legalistic sense of the Mosaic law, and this is why you won't see us preaching from that. But they are clothed in the knowledge of instilling only what the Holy Spirit manifests in the hearts of God's people. Determinative influences of such ones being positioned in Christ in eternity defy religious styles and techniques of, we saw so much junk going on from the pulpit now. There are techniques of advancing Christ as to when, even whether, the child of God accepts and emulates him. Derivative answers convey how and why God devises the progression of works and works his will severally in the lives of his people. This is what we have to. True answers. Answers that are consistent. Not things that we have to further explain by coming up with some other kind of doctrine. Or either try to explain them away. The measure of consistent, measure of truth that is consistency. If it's consistent, it's true. If it's true, it's consistent.
That's it. Amen. Yes, Lord.
So this is the spectrum, the eternal spectrum. Mm-hmm. It implies employing the exhibition that is of how the grace scriptures persuade.
Yes.
How are we persuaded? How are our audience persuaded to the grace scriptures? By what? Providing information about the contents of texts and more importantly, how they account for rhetorical analysis of the exhortation. What are you saying there, preacher? Well, what we're saying is that we don't get up here and take a topic and say do this or don't do that or how to do this or what you should do then. We get up here and we take the indicative. What is the indicative? We deal with the facts of eternality. And this is where we start. Because when you learn that, that will minister to your daily needs. We don't have to get up here telling you five ways to do something. But who he is and who you are in relationship to him.
To him, glory to God.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you see, the best way to deal with the everyday things are not from the level and the platform of everyday things. But oh no, because if you're standing on a horizontal plane, you're looking around, there's too much interference. And what you see, what you think you see, is not what you see. And so viewing things from where we view them is not the best view. The best view is viewing from the eternal heavenly vantage point of where God sees them. Oh my God, in past dispensations, He did not give us this information. But oh my God, in our gospel, and this is why I said stand your gospel. He takes us into the eternal essence of the eternal view. Oh my God, we is short of all. He here for generations, but it's not all.
Glory to God.
Amen. Why won't we preach it?
Hallelujah.
Why would we preach less than the best?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Here, this much is revealed, but because I'm afraid you're going to get bored, I'm going to preach less than what is revealed.
Jesus.
I'm going to preach from the part of the scene because that you can resonate with rather than the unseen, because I'm afraid again you're going to get bored. Now this brings into view, and I know I'm taking my time this morning, and you all get used to it. This is this is time. It's time out for coming in here and exciting through techniques of delivery. It's time to come for us to receive the truth.
True.
The truth that will deliver you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So this brings into view a very probing question. That is, what is the prevailing format of messaging that should be adhered to in ministry? Even if they don't like it. It's not our job to stand here and preach something that you like and entertain. Oh, the stuff that's coming from the pulpits today. Entertainment has no place in the church. Woo, what are you saying? Well, let me qualify that. Entertainment that's outside of entertaining God has no place in the in the church. We come here and we'll be praised and we magnify. We're entertaining God. But we come in to entertain ourselves, that means that's who we're praising and magnifying. So what should we be ministering? What should we be what should we be talking about?
Never.
One thing you'll never have to wonder about, what's going to be talked about here. What's our subject?
Jesus.
Now, Brother Deacon, everybody also, let's turn to 2nd, if you haven't already got it, 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Look like I won't get through today, but you know, I can't worry about that.
Thanks.
All right. Here are some instructions that Paul writes to Timothy, who was ministering under him. So these are instructions to the ministry. Now in the previous verses which we've read before, Paul admonished Timothy to preach the word. Preach it when they like it, in season. Preach it when they don't like it, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort, and then exhorting all long-suffering and doctrine. So our exhorting has to come through doctrine. And what doctrine is it? The grace doctrine. No. Paul wasn't just talking about any doctrine here. Doctrine simply means teaching. And then he told them that the time will come when they won't listen. They won't want to hear it. And for you not to be intimidated. Because they're going to heap to themselves teachers itching ears. And when they get their preachers, they're going to turn away from this preaching. And basically from the truth. From the truth. But then what did he say in verse 5? Read that.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, King James Version. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist.
Why did he put endure afflictions right there in the middle of saying what to do? And there he's saying, you're going to have to endure afflictions if you do it the way we it's conveyed here. And do what?
Make full proof of thy ministry.
Make full proof of thy ministry. All right, from the Greek text. Everybody with the say amen.
Amen.
Read.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Thou but be sober in all things.
Oh, I could deal with that, but the time is moving on. Oh, my God. Whew. Keep reading.
Suffer evil.
Mm-hmm.
Work due of an evangelist.
Of an evangelist. Mm-hmm.
The ministry of these fulfill.
Now, that has not been correctly commented on in most of the commentaries. I'm talking about the last. Let's let us look, because our tired clock is just beating me up here. Let's look at the last phrase of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. And that is, do the work of an evangelist. He's speaking to the ministry. Fully carry out your ministry. This is what he's saying. This context clearly identifies what scripture evangelism entails in the word of God for this present church age, which is the grace of God. What dispensation are we in? Grace. What's the message? Grace. What's the gospel? Grace. What's the contract? The grace covenant. Here we have a Greek phrase here. Ergon, and y'all follow along with me. Now, you say, why, Pastor, why you break this down? Because, you see, you pick up a commentary and it'll say one thing. In fact, you pick up three or four commentaries and it's they got different spins on it. You don't want spins. You want the truth. So what we do here is we exegete. Have a phrase here, Ergon, the eson, is rendered that phrase here, ergon, the eson, ever eliotu, is rendered, do the work of an evangelist. It emphatically conveys the ministry's format, a proclamation of Paul's. That is my gospel. Note here that the Greek now ever yell you to is really rendered evangelist is conveyed only one other time in Paul's epistles, and that's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 11, we'll have time to turn to. But its verb form, now, it's a noun, but the verb form is eleuizo, which is derived from elf and eleus, which is denoting a good message. Huh?
Yes.
So an evangelist is one who evangelized, and evangelized come from evangelism, and evangelism really means good message.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Those who proclaim a good message, follow here, follow.
Thank God.
It means to speak a good message.
Yes, Lord.
To proclaim good tidings. As thus its transliterated connotation to evangelize. Note an examination here as we've talked about the noun, the verb form, the noun form ending tis connotes an evangelist as one who speaks, proclaims, and preaches good news of the gospel as associated with scripturally appropriate messages for the present grace church, that is the grace doctrine. I come in here preaching kingdom. I'm not doing you good service.
No.
And I'm certainly doing you harm if I come in here preaching law. Mm-hmm. Grace doctrine of preaching and teaching.
Glory be to God.
So an evangelist, hence evangelism, is identified as gifts assigned to the church. This ministering is construed in some instance solely as preaching the gospel to the lost. You all hear me this morning. We're not standing up here saying there's somebody out there lost and we got to preach them into the kingdom. That's not evangelism. That's not what Paul was talking about in the fourth chapter. He's speaking about conveying a good message, and a good message has to be the right message, and the right message for the grace church and the grace dispensation comes from the grace contract.
Yes. Glory be to God. Yes. Yes.
The grace doctrine. So they can shoot that we're preaching the gospel to the lost, to the recordings of missionary workings and establishing local assemblies, and we go to places like Acts chapter 8 and 5 and 24 to 25, the Acts chapter 21 and 8, and if you really, really, really look and see what Paul was doing, he was never out there saving no souls.
No.
He was preaching, and the Spirit was drawing those whom God has elected to be illuminated and elucidated.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can't tell you nothing. I can't show you nothing. I can't cause you to understand anything. If you understand, it's because of the Holy Spirit. As I've been saying to you for years, you ever understand something? You say, don't say thank you, pastor. Don't say thank you, ministers. Who do we say thank you? Who?
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Numbers. Yes, that's right.
If you understand it, it's because the Spirit of God. We are but instruments. We are but vessels. We are but tools. Nobody, I often give this example, nobody praises the bat that hit the ball out of the park, but the slugger who swung the bat.
That's it.
We're just bats and balls. God is the slugger, if I might use that analogy. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase. That farmer can plant, and he can fertilize, and he can water, and he can do all he wants to. Amen. These are but processes in manifestation and of materializing things. Amen. That crop came up because God said, you come up.
remember that.
Yes, sir.
And so you understand because God has said you will understand. There are other God's people that will never understand. Now, even though there are certainly some aspects of this commission, the command to fully carry out your ministry here exudes the full gamut of ministry. This is what he's talking about. This encompasses a wide range of responsibility in preaching the message of grace doctrinally in its disciplines of advice and urge as dissemination of advice, exhortation, and our recommendations. These forums envelop doing what? Communicating, advising, pursuing, avoiding something, tendering persuasion and dissuasion, plus thanksgiving to God, and exhorting to who? The body of Christ. I'm preaching this to the body of Christ.
Right.
Somebody said, well, suppose somebody's not in the body of Christ. That's not your job. Our job is not to get people signed up for the body of Christ. Our job is not recruiting people for the body of Christ. You say, man, preacher, that sounds so strange. No, listen. No man can come. This is kingdom here. No man can come what? Except he's drawn. Drawn by the gospel? No. Drawn by who?
God.
By God. Unless God draws you, and God's not drawing anyone but those whom he has assigned. And so, we don't know who they are, so we preach to all. But the Holy Spirit, he apprehends those that are his. And that's how this thing works. And this is what we must understand. And I'm saying this because here we're approaching 10 years.
Yes.
We have crossed the threshold of 10 years of ministering here at the Grace Gospel Church, the local assembly here. And I want it crystal clear to all of those who are part of this assembly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that there are no illusions as to what this ministry is about. And what this ministry should be about. So we minister to the body of Christ. So this is why we preach that scripture evangelism actually imbues the essence of conveying this message of grace. And if we're not preaching grace. And I tell you this morning, amen, if I don't preach grace, I don't preach. If we don't preach grace, we don't preach. We're not preaching. You're not preaching to the church. You're not preaching to the body of Christ unless you're preaching from our contract.
That's right.
Grace. The message of grace. When you into law, you got the clouded issues of circumcision versus uncircumcision. When you're preaching kingdom, you got the clouded issues of water baptism and speaking in tongues and oh my God, you got all kind of issues before you, amen, that the grace conflict has cleared up because there's none of these in grace. Paul writes in Hebrews in the 6th chapter. He speaks up laying on of hands and baptisms and all of these things. And Paul said, if the Lord blesses us, amen, we're moving away from that. Let's go on to maturity.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, and I'm going to quit early today, there's a lack of consensus. That is early for me. There's a lack of consensus in most ministering circles concerning lines of demarcation between former parts. What are we saying? In the ministering, what should be said, how it should be said, what should be taught, the format of it. You know, especially when it comes to ethnicity, ethnic churches. You all know what I'm saying without me saying it. We're more concerned with the form than the facts. We're more concerned with how it's said over what it's said. Anybody can put on a good show. Tell a few jokes. Have you all over the floor. But you can go to a comedy club for that. Stand up here talking about politics. You can go to a political rally for that. Talking about sociology. You can go into many forums for that. Talking about the physical things, and you're standing there looking at all of that. But here is what it's all about. Paul said, we're not looking at that.
That's it. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Yes.
We're not looking at that. Now, grace proponents espouse the eternal view of evangelism. Everybody say eternal view,
eternal view
of evangelism. You all get used to it.
That's it. Hallelujah.
So we espouse the eternal view of evangelism as opposed to what others embrace. Hence it is necessary to know the scripture definition according to dictates of the full context of ministry. And this is why Paul said, make full what? Of what? Of your ministry. Of being. That's if you evangelize. That's how you make full proof of it. Now, this also mitigates the wide spectrum assigned in secularly appealing to the masses. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. If I do things a certain way, and set things a certain way, and format things a certain way, and get enough people excited and put enough secularity in there, then we can crowd out this place. And then some of us, we look around and say, we're not really growing. Question is, growing in, you say we're not growing? Growing in what? That's not enough for a ministry? See, to appeal to the crowd, you've got to go outside of this. The crowd will never be excited about the unseen. What did Paul say concerning this gospel? We walk by what?
Faith.
Not by what?
Sight.
Why do you think he said that? Well, because he said we're not looking at the things seen. And if you're looking at what unseen, that's where the faith comes in. So, this mitigates the wide spectrum assigned and secularly appealing to the masses, as some view it as either building up large assembly numbers or connecting disconnected discourses. That is so crazy. And espousing secular, physical contexts in fragmented manners. They're all over the place. They do this rather than espousing the scripture directives for exclusive grace doctrinal ministry. All over the place. Talking about all kind of crazy stuff. I turn on the television and I think we can get about 8 or 9 different religious stations. And we just go from one to one to the other. And everybody's talking about the scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sure. Of what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rejoicing about what we've already have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? I'm not going to get into further day. What do we have? What do we have? What is it you really have this morning? Well, I got my bills half paid up. No. What? What do you really have this morning?
Right.
Well, I got my pension. No. What do you really have this morning?
Really have.
Well, I've just got my house just about paid for. No, what do you really have?
You really have.
So, well, I'm just about through with my getting my college degree. What do you really have? Because anything that you can put in that slot that you stand to lose, you don't really have it.
That's right.
And anything that you acquire while you're in the time capsule, you don't really have. Because what did scripture say? If you didn't bring it in, and what? You're not taking it out. It's borrowed. You know what the characteristics of something borrowed is? You got to give it back. Anything that you acquire in the time capsule, it is borrowed. And if you didn't bring it in,
No. You
can't take it out. Even the law of the universe and scientists have Liberman is a science teacher. Nothing can be created or destroyed. While we're here in the time capsule. And so, grace doctrinal preaching doesn't focus on those things that you accumulate here. But what is it we focus on? We focus on what you brought in. What did you bring? Oh my God. We go back to eternity to identify the fact that before you got here, you were somebody. Before you got here, you had it all. Oh my God.
Glory to God.
Before you got here, He chose you. We're talking about a real election now. He elected you and placed you in the blood of Christ. Gave you His nature, some position.
Oh,
and that's what you brought in. And thank God, that's the only thing you take out. And so, this is what we will address to you: the essence of what is, not what you think it is. In essence, is what it's going to be. Not what's here today and gone tomorrow. The essence of the real you. And the essence of that which transcends all that is around you. And everything. So let things come and let things go. Let trials come. Come. Let challenges come. Let disappointments come. Oh my God. Let whatsoever come. But we'll be like Paul and persuaded that there's nothing. Everybody said nothing. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. There's nothing that can change the fact that whatever I brought in, I'm taking out. But see, if you don't know that you brought it in, and you think you got it while you were here, then you got to classify that as everything else that you think you got while you were here. Woo, hallelujah. My Lord. Huh? But it's yours. It was yours from the beginning. Oh, my God. to all we say. One day, we're going to take off depravity. Oh my God. And we will discard these bodies. And when we discard these bodies, we are discarding the sinful nature. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, headaches, no more trouble. Oh my God. One day, we're going to take off of finality and put on eternity. One day, we're going where Jesus is. And we're going to be caught up. Everybody say caught up. I know it's not proper. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Oh my God. What an election. We'll talk about it when I come back next
time.
Hey,
hallelujah. Give him a hand, praise, hallelujah.